scripture reading is Acts chapter 20. Begin reading at verse 17, and we'll read through verse 32. So Acts 20, verses 17 to 32. This is the record in Holy Scripture of the Apostle Paul returning from his third missionary journey and calling upon the elders in the church in Ephesus to meet with them and to talk with them concerning their work. So Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The text that we consider is verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For Satagalog, ingata ninyo ang inyong sarili at ang buong tawan, sa kanilay nilagay kayo ng Espiritu Santo na mga tagapanggasiwa upang pangalagaan ninyo ang Iglesia ng Diyos na binili niya ng kanyang sariling dugo. Notice, people of God, that the Apostle Paul gives warnings and admonitions and words here to the elders of the church of Ephesus. The Apostle begins in verses 18 through 27 by setting before the elders in the church of Ephesus his own striking example of faithfulness in his work as a minister of the gospel, as a teaching elder in the church of Christ, and concludes that with the important words of verse 27, For I have not shunned or hesitated to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then the apostle gives an admonition, a warning, a command to the elders of the church, the main command in verse 28, the word of God that we will consider together this morning. Then he also, in the verses that follow from verse 28, verses 29, 30, and 31, points out to the congregation, or to the elders of that congregation in Ephesus, the urgency of their calling and why their work was so important and so necessary, because of the reality in this world and the reality in the Church of Christ that there are wolves, those who try to kill the sheep of Jesus Christ, those who try to lead God's people astray. And that, the Apostle says, makes the calling of elders and the necessity of elders very important and very real. So these are the words of God to the elders of the Church of Christ today, and the words of God to the elder who is to be installed in office in this congregation. Really, you could say, not only the word of God to elders, but the word of God that applies to all office bearers in his church, especially elders, they are on the foreground here, but also to the other office bearers, to ministers and to deacons, that's also to myself as an office bearer in the Church of Christ. But also, remember this, it's a good word of God for all manga kasapi of the church to hear. We need to know who our office bearers are. That is, we need to know their official place and their official work in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to know that so that we receive them and receive their work properly as members of the church. And we need to know that as well so that we, as the members of God's flock, pray for our office bearers. Pray for our elder. May the Lord lead us to do so. So let's consider this word of God under the theme, elders taking heed to the flock. We'll notice the meaning, the motive, and the possibility. The text addresses elders. And so the first question before us is, what is an elder? We can say, ang matanda ay tatlong bagay. There are two words that the Bible uses to refer to elders. One of those words is here in verse 17 of this chapter, where that word is translated elder. The Apostle Paul called for the elders of the church. That's one word for elders. That's the word that literally means that a person is older, as the Tagalog word, matanda, an older person. And that's often the case. Not always, but often the case in my experience in the ministry as well, that men who serve as elders in the Church of Christ are older members of the congregation. But also younger men. I know elders who serve as good elders in the Church of Christ that are 30 years or younger. And that points out that the word elder or older, as that's the meaning of that word, is not necessarily a reference to a person's age, but refers to a man's maturity. Spiritually mature, one who is a man of God, one who is wiser, one who shows himself to be a man who knows the Word of God and who lives the life of a godly person who is a mature Christian. So that, first of all, is what an elder is. Matanda e santaum gusto na ani spiritual na yulan. Secondly, there is another word that the New Testament uses to refer to elder. And that word is also used in this passage, and that is in verse 28. Overseer. Most often, that word is translated in the Bible, in the King James Version of the Bible, as bishop. Bishop. Or obispo. So, that refers to the fact that an elder is one who oversees others. He supervises them. It's a word that puts emphasis on, or puts the focus on, the work of this man. So the first word, elder, puts the focus on his qualifications, spiritually mature, older in that sense of the word. Now this word puts our focus on his work. He's an overseer. He supervises the people of God. He sees to it that God's people live the lives that the people of God ought to live. We all know what that is. The Word of God gives us that guide. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my pathway. And that Word of God is given to us not only in the Scriptures, but that Word of God is given to us also through the preaching of the Gospel. The preaching of God's Word every Lord's Day. And the elder must ask himself this question in relation to the lives of the members of the church: are they doing what God requires of them? Are they living as they ought to live as God's people? Are they obedient? Are they godly? Are they spiritually minded people of God? So that, in the second place, is what an elder is. Matanda a son. But there is a third thing that we can say about an elder, and that's pointed out here in the text as well. And that is that an elder is a shepherd. Pastor. Congregation, you'll notice in verse 28 of Acts 20, is referred to as the flock. The flock. Sheep. The sheep of God and the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sheep, as you know, need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, sheep will wander. Without a shepherd, sheep will hurt themselves. Without a shepherd, sheep fall into pits. Sheep fall over cliffs and kill themselves. And God knows that His people, as his sheep, need a shepherd. So who is the shepherd of the congregation of the people of God? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. We sing that in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We read that as we began our service today in Psalm 80. O thou great shepherd of thy sheep, of thy people. Christ is our shepherd. And we read of that also in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, where Jesus Christ is referred to as the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. But Christ, you realize, is not on earth. Christ is not able to be the shepherd of this congregation in person. Christ himself cannot stand here behind this pulpit every Sunday and preach the Word of God. Christ cannot come to us, his people, during the week with his Word in order to instruct and comfort, encourage and guide his people directly through his Word. And so Christ appoints men to represent him in his church. Normally we think of the pastor as the shepherd. In fact, that's what the word pastor means. shepherd. But notice here, the Word of God makes clear to us that not only the pastor, but also the elders in the Church of Christ are viewed as, and should be understood by us to be, among our pastoral shepherds. That's because elders also represent the Lord Jesus Christ. So the elders and the congregation as a whole too must remember that. Through the elders as shepherds, Christ cares for his flock, cares for us as his hangmanga tupa. That brings us then to point B. What is the calling of elders? What is their work? Now, of course, there are many passages in the Bible that tell us about the work of elders. We're interested now in what this passage, this text, specifies concerning their work. And we can say this, itinuturo nam texto am dalawang bagay, concerning the work of elders. First of all, it tells us something concerning them as regards their title, their name, bishop or overseer. And that is the command of the text to elders, take heed. Take heed to the sheep. For the elder, that means this. The elder has to literally, and that's the meaning of the word, he has to literally turn his mind toward the people of God. As the elder does his work in the midst of the church, as the elder lives his life as a representative of Christ among the people of God, his mind must be turned to the people of God. He must be thinking about the congregation, thinking about their needs, thinking about their weaknesses, thinking about their struggles in life, thinking about the temptations that they face every day, thinking about the dangers that are before them as God's people who are living in the midst of an evil, ungodly, wicked world. And he must, as an elder, pay close attention to the people of God, just like a shepherd. A shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd thinks about his sheep. And a shepherd keeps his eyes on his sheep all the time as he leads them out into the desert, into the wilderness, finding pasture for them, and brings them back home at night. He is always watching and thinking about his sheep. You could also compare it to what a parent does. Anyone that's a parent here is someone who always has his mind or her mind on his or her children. You don't forget about your children. You think about them during the day as they're in school. You think about them as they face challenges in life. You think about them when they get sick. You wonder what to do about your children. All kinds of things that run through your mind as parents constantly concerning your children. That points us to the work of the elders. Focus upon paying close attention to his spiritual na kapakanan ng bayan ng Diyos. Then secondly, pangalawa, there is a work of elders that relates to the fact that they are called here or referred to here as shepherds. And the text tells us that because they are shepherds of the flock and overseers of the flock, but specifically now shepherds, they are called to feed the church of God. Pagkainin nila ang iglesia ng Diyos. That's what a shepherd does with his sheep. A shepherd finds pasture for them. He leads his sheep to the pasture.
He provides them with the daily food that they need. That's what an elder must do in the Church of Christ. That's how Christ cares for his congregation. You may know as members of the church, this is Christ's care for us, that he calls elders to feed us as his sheep. The minister must do that, of course, as the teaching elder in the Church of Christ, but the ruling elders must do that as well. And that does not mean providing for the physical food of the people of God, but that refers to providing spiritual hagkayin for the people of God. That's the main calling, really, of elders. A very important work to provide spiritual food, to provide God's people with the Word of God. That's really what God's people need. It's really what you all need. It's really, you could say, your greatest need in life. So God's people must receive the word, and elders are called to see to it that God's people are fed. One way in which elders are called to do that is their calling as elders to see to it that God's word is faithfully preached by the minister of the gospel. That's part of the rule of the elders. The elders rule the minister. The elders rule the church and see to it that the word of God that is preached every Lord's Day is true and faithful to the scriptures. It's food that feeds the souls of the people of God. But an elder must do that also by himself bringing God's word to God's people. That too is part of the elder's calling. When an elder in the Church of Christ is called to visit upon God's people, as he does that maybe with the pastor, or as he does that as an elder in his calling to see to it that the members are godly and faithful. In Reformed churches we have, and we'll learn about that too, family visitation, where every family in the congregation and every member of the church is visited by the elders of the church once a year at least, that in those instances the elder must bring God's word to God's people. Also in the work of discipline, a word that admonishes God's people, also a word that comforts and encourages the people of God in their life. The thing to remember is God's word has malakim kapangyarihan. You should not underestimate the power of the word of God. The word of God, that is the power that God uses to lead his people in a life of repentance. The word that has the power to turn God's people to Christ for comfort and hope and peace. The word that has the power to give joy to the people of God. It's not the words of a man that has that power, but it's the word of Christ, who is the great shepherd of his sheep. And Christ himself, when the word of God is brought, Christ himself speaks to his people and brings them his word. May elders always be faithful in that and use the word of God, even as the Apostle Paul said he did by the grace of God, when he said in verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. When you think of that, when you take that approach as an office bearer and as an elder in the Church of Christ, then you realize you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be troubled as to whether the Word of God will have an effect. It will, because it's the Word of Christ himself. And really, in the end, what can anyone say against the word of Christ? They may speak against us personally as office bearers, but if we are faithful in bringing the word of Christ, then we leave the rest in the hands of Christ and of God. That brings us then to our second point, the motive. The motive. The work of elders in the Church of Christ is a challenging work, is often a very difficult work. And the reason it is a sapakatan bayanam jose a mangatupa. That's a figure that is often used in the Bible to describe believers, and it's a very appropriate figure. Perhaps the most descriptive place in the Word of God concerning that is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, where it says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That points out, and what this figure of sheep points out, is that sheep are by nature foolish animals. They are prone to wander. They become lost. They are animals that need constant guidance and help. They are animals that are blind to the dangers that are before them. They are animals that are also stubborn. Stubborn, you don't. And we used to have sheep on the farm. You don't pull sheep. You have to gently guide and lead sheep. Sheep are by nature stubborn. And that's how we can all be by nature too. God's people, all of us, myself as well, by nature foolish, by nature blind to the dangers that we face, by nature stubborn. That's the character of sheep. The elders may confront that in their work, so that God's people say to them sometimes, when the elders bring them the word of God, when elders admonish them, why do you come to me? I don't need your help. I don't have any problems. Everything's fine in my life. And if I do have a problem in my life, it's none of your business. I don't need your help to solve my issues in life. Just leave me alone. I can take care of myself. That's how some of God's people react sometimes to the word of Christ that comes to them through elders. And an elder might be tempted to become frustrated with the people of God, or even galit, angry, because they do not listen, because the word of God is not heard by them, because they do not repent of the sins in which they are walking, because they do not strive to be godly and obedient, because they continue on in their sins, because they fail to be godly, faithful members of the Church of Christ. But it's wrong for elders to become frustrated or angry. And the text mentions what it is that will keep elders from that, what will properly motivate elders to do their work properly and faithfully. And that motive is that they understand that the members of the church are napakahalagan mga tupan, precious to God and precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the text says. The church of God, which God has purchased with his own blood. Sheep, the members of the church of Christ, are those that God has paid a huge price for. The price of his own son. Blood was shed for the members of the Church of Christ. saving blood, blood that covers their sins in the sight of God. And it was the blood of Christ, the blood of the Son of God Himself. God gave His Son. God subjected His Son to His wrath. God put His own Son on the cross to save His sheep. So great was the love of God, and so great was the love of Christ, that Christ laid down His life to save His church. Is there and could there be a greater evidence for how precious the members of the Church of Christ are to God, and how precious to Christ? In all the universe, there is no higher price that has ever been paid, or that could ever be paid, for someone. In all the universe, we know there is nothing so precious to God as the sheep that He has purchased with the blood of His own Son. Divine blood. And that's the motive for elders to be diligent, and for all office bearers, of course, to be diligent and faithful in their work. And not to become frustrated or angry with God's people. And that's true because it means that they too, office bearers, must view the members of the church as Christ views them. Sheep that are valuable to God. Sheep that are valuable to Christ. Sheep that have been redeemed from death and hell and the devil. Sheep that have been ordained by God to spend eternity with Him in the glories of heaven. How can we then neglect those precious sheep? How can office bearers give up on them? How can an elder fail to feed those sheep and their souls? An elder who understands that God's people are precious, blood-bought sheep will be one who says, I must strive with all my might to care for God's precious possession. I cannot do otherwise. These are precious to God, precious to the Lord Jesus Christ, and precious also to myself. A motive to do the work well. But it's also a motive to do the work well because then elders can know that their work is not in vain, not fruitless, not pointless. Sometimes it may seem that elders' work is that way, that the word they bring falls on deaf ears, that there is no evidence of change in the lives of God's people. But because the flock is the precious blood-bought sheep of Jesus Christ, whom God has ordained to eternal life, then elders may know that the word they bring will bear fruit. Christ does not neglect His sheep, and Christ sees to it that they are fed by the word that is brought. The evidence might not always be there. We might not always see it. In fact, I think it's often the case for office bearers, as they bring God's word to His people, that the fruit that is produced in the lives of God's people is so much within them, because that's where it starts, that it's never evident to us. Or the fruit is later in their lives that we don't ourselves see it, or don't see it right away. But you can be sure that if Christ has paid for these sheep, and they are His sheep, and He purposes to bring them to heaven, He will use His word to accomplish His saving purpose in them. The work can be done with the confidence and that Christ will cause it to bear fruit. So finally, how is all of this possible? Well, to do the work, first of all, and to do the work effectively, matatanda gapate bantayan ankanilam sarili. It's a striking statement, striking too, that in this text it's mentioned first. It's not elders take heed to the flock and then also take heed to yourself. That's not what the text says. But the text says elders take heed to yourself and then take heed to the flock of Christ. That shows us how important it is and points out to us that before elders take heed to the flock, they must take heed to themselves. The elders are called to oversee the flock of Christ. Well, first elders must oversee themselves. Not just right away ask, are God's people living as godly people, but am I living as a godly person? They have to feed the flock, the sheep of Christ, feed God's people his word. And so the elder must ask himself, am I feeding myself? Do I read and do I study the word of God? Do I pray? Am I spiritually minded? Am I walking with God? Am I obedient to God? In this way, the elder serves as an example to the people of God. A very important example. And that example is important, that example is crucial, because it directly relates to the effectiveness of an elder's work. An elder cannot be an effective elder in the Church of Christ if he is not himself a good, godly example to the people of God. That's true of a minister as well. That's true of deacons as well. Just think of it. If I, as a minister, am given to drink, drunkenness, or adultery, or deceptive talk, lying, or gossip and slander, and then from the pulpit I say to God's people, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness, are God's people going to receive the word that is brought? If an elder is therefore not a good example, it reduces the effectiveness of his work or removes the effect altogether, so that his work is totally ineffective. No matter what he says, the people will say, why should I listen to you? Now let me say to the members of the church here, it should not be that way. Members of the congregation should never use a weakness or a failure in the life of an office bearer as an excuse not to listen to the word of God, because it's God's word and it's the word of God regardless of who it is that brings that word. But still, that's often the response. So it's people inclined to say, why should I do what you say when you don't even do it yourself? Why should I be a godly husband if you're not a godly husband who loves your wife? Why should I discipline my children and rule my family if you fail to discipline and rule your family? Why should I faithfully attend the worship services every Lord's Day twice if you miss church yourself, or if your children are not there. You see what can happen. So it's crucial for an elder, an office bearer, to take heed to himself. And if an elder is mabuti mga ehemplo, ang kanilang gawa sa iglesia ay magiging higit na mabisa, much more effective. And suddenly, that's our prayer and our desire. But most importantly, as regards the possibility, we must realize this. The possibility of doing the work is only in the end through sa pamamagitan sa Espiritu Santo. It's the only way. Ang lahat ng ito ay ginagawan posible ng banal na Espiritu. Notice that in the text, the Holy Spirit is mentioned very importantly. The Holy Spirit who has made you an overseer. An elder is not self-appointed. An elder is not appointed by men, but is divinely appointed in the church of Christ. An elder may know, you may know as an elder, that you are an elder because Christ has called and appointed you to represent him in his church through his Spirit. The point of mentioning the Holy Spirit is this, that the Holy Spirit, when he calls someone to serve in the church of Christ as a representative of Christ, doesn't just take that person and put him into office and that's it, and expect the man of himself and in his own strength and with his own wisdom to do the work. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. But the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit takes someone, calls him through the church to be an office bearer, also equips that man, qualifies that man to be an office bearer in the church of Christ. And that means that the Spirit gives that man the gifts that he needs to do his work. The Holy Spirit has made you an elder. The Holy Spirit has made you that not only by name, but also internally, qualifying, equipping you with the abilities, the knowledge, the wisdom, the Word of God that you need, the wisdom to use that Word of God, giving you and promising to give you the words to speak when called to speak those words to God's people. And the Spirit does this as well. The Spirit works in us as office bearers, all of us, to do our work because we love Christ. And loving Christ, we love his sheep who are precious, and we are concerned for their spiritual welfare. What an encouragement and confidence that gives to office bearers in their work. I don't have to do it in my own strength. I don't have to do it in my own wisdom. I do it through the strength of Christ. I do it in the confidence that Christ has given to me as an office bearer in his church, not only the Spirit, but we can even say a special measure of his Spirit, because he wills that his office bearers are fully equipped and fully qualified to take care of the precious sheep that he has purchased with his own blood. May elders then take heed to themselves and to the flock, and may we all as sheep, as members of the congregation, by the grace of God, receive the elder that God has given and the Spirit has placed over us, and pray for that elder and for all our office bearers in their work. And may God in this way continue to bless and to prosper and to build up His church. Amen. Let us pray. O God, our Father in heaven, may Thy word be a blessing to us as office bearers, as members of Thy church on this Lord's Day. Use it to instruct, to guide, to build us up, to lead us to be faithful in the callings that Thou dost give to us in the Church of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.